The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Planet Gridiron, where football lives. With your host, Damian Anderson.
Welcome to Planet Gridiron, where we discuss and talk about everything sports, but always a little football. So, Dave, we got David Lockhart here in studio, and always Roland Hill rushing around trying to get everything settled. We got some in-studio guests, and we also have one of the birds that flew east, Antrell Roll, will be on the show as well today. So, Dave, there's a lot been happening. We got the draft coming up, some free agency signings. So, thus far up to this point, who's, you know, a guy that you've kind of like, man, he's going to help that team?
Well, there's several people. Actually, they're saying that this draft is as deep as probably the 83 draft, going beyond even the quarterbacks.
Really?
So, yeah, it's pretty impressive with what's going on. But let's start top-heavy draft with respect to the defensive tackles. Clearly, depending on the scheme that they go into, Jerry McCoy and Ndamukong Suh. They're going to help immediately. If you're dealing more with depends on what you want there. More explosive in terms of being able to have an impact, getting after the quarterback immediately is going to be Gerald McCoy, in my opinion. And that's just because of the physical skills and ability that he brings to the game. Whereas everybody obviously has been touting Ndamukong Suh, who we believe can play, 4-3 as well as 3-4, can bump out and play on the end, they believe. Now, nobody's necessarily seen that, but is he going to be able to help immediately? Those kind of players are going to help immediately.
But he helped immediately in that game against Texas.
Oh, not only in Texas, but every other game.
So how are you just going to say that he can just transform? I mean that the guy from Oklahoma can be better than him.
Well, we're doing that based on projections now. Is what we're doing.
But I'm saying that they both played in the same conference.
True.
And Ndamukong Suh got all the awards.
That's true.
That's funny though, Roland. We could barely pronounce that name when we didn't know who it was. Towards the beginning, it was Ndamukong Suh. Yeah, the guy from Nebraska. Now it's Ndamukong Suh like this.
Oh, yeah, it rolls off your tongue now.
Yeah, right. But we got to talk about this punch heard and seen all around the world. That I'm just witnessing here on Planet Gridiron TV All Access.
As we see Mr. Anderson late to the game.
Yeah, I am. So does the punishment fit the crime sheet? I was pretty serious, bro. Andrea Griner, I don't know if people seen it. You could explain to Dave.
Yeah, Andrea Griner. I think a lot of people have starting to see now this violence pour over or spill over into the women's games or women's sports. Remember, we had earlier in the year the young lady that played, if we can call her young lady, the woman that was playing soccer
and kicking and punching
and slapping.
Oh, that was a different incident.
Correct. Now you see the extension going over into basketball now.
Well, you saw last week there were two men's basketball games where the guy punched him below the belt. Two guys got punched below the belt.
Actually, yeah, that might not have even happened. That happened in the NIT tournament, actually.
Yeah.
So that happened actually earlier this week.
That's sports, man.
But you don't punch it. Wait a minute. Did you play dirty?
No, but I mean,
no comment.
I don't know. Do you want the truth?
I don't know how you could play dirty.
No, I mean, I always played within the realm of the game and for, try to have all the characteristics that would exemplify, say, for example, if my son or friend or if a little kid was watching. So I always played fast and tried to hit hard, whether I carried the ball or not. However, I never hit anybody or punch or try to poke out any eyes or break fingers or anything like that. However, I can understand why a person can lose control. It's just like everyday life. Don't matter the fact that just because they're playing football, they can't lose control.
Who was the dirtiest guy you played against?
Several defensive linemen, whoever they are. I mean, from college to professional. I mean, any guy that would try and, dig down your pants or up your pants or poke you in the eye or pinch you. I mean, those are some things that happen in that scrum, man. It's just like,
happens every game.
It happens every game that you just can't see. Yeah. It happens every game that you just can't see. So.
But going back to the incident here, obviously most of Sports America has had an opportunity to see what the Griner incident, which occurred in the Big 12 tournament, women's tournament. And you had, who was it? I believe it was Texas Tech versus, and Griner plays for Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a situation where people were trying to establish position underneath the boards. And you can actually see Griner, who came in extremely and heavily touted, she slung out of her position.
Right.
And a foul is called, and then immediately you see Griner respond by punching mm-hmm. Texas Tech player directly in the face. Right, it resulted in a break of her nose.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the suspension was what, 2 games?
Because she was, it's not like a little.
Wait a minute. She like punched her and broke her nose.
She broke the girl's nose.
Yeah. And she didn't get to play 2 games.
She got ejected from that game, and she got.
So she missed
suspended.
3 games.
Yeah.
She should have missed more than that.
Now, why?
Why?
Because she hit her.
Okay, but we see that happen all the time.
Yeah, come on now, that's unsportsmanlike.
I mean, I think that there needs to be precedent set that there's no room in the game for
exactly
for penalties like that. However, I don't think that the girl should miss. You know, who knows what was
they
happening?
Had a Yanker scholarship and send her home.
No, come on, Ro.
Come on, man.
Let's have a voice of reason here.
But that is a voice of reason, man. You're a defense attorney, man. You try to get a light sentence. Life.
well, if you look at what happened, and not only that, this type of reaction spawns from the entire season. Okay, Griner is large, 6'8". Okay, mm-hmm. And she's been extremely dominant. She set the record this year, Big 12, definitely the Baylor record for the most block shots. Very aggressive, very good defensively. Now, what happens? The same thing that was happening when we all got to see Shaquille O'Neal at LSU. They were mobbing her, and she's been going through that the entire season.
She just had enough.
And I think it was a culmination of all of that, and then she responds by clearly –
okay, I'm going to the bank this afternoon and rob it. I just had enough of being broke. Well, you can defend me.
he going to try. He going to try.
Best I can get you is life.
Hey, we got to welcome to the show. We got Peter Manley, one of the stars of NAU. Went to school. Was he a classmate of yours?
Well, we
NAU?
Didn't graduate together, but we was on campus together.
Okay, well, there it is.
NAU, Big Sky.
Pete, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Thanks for having me.
So tell us just about your experience at NAU and how it helped you transition to the NFL.
Well, it was an awesome experience in the fact that there's nothing there.
Snow up there.
While school is in, you focus on your education, and ultimately when the summer comes, it's a ghost town. So that helped a lot in terms of being able to focus in on what I was trying to get accomplished there, not only to obtain a degree, but to hone in on my skills as far as a football player is concerned.
Pete, excuse me.
Go ahead.
Pete, I got to ask you, where are the dreads? Where's the Jerry curl? When'd you get? you still got it. Huh? Boy had some hair up there. Hey, Pete, when you went from the Big Sky to the pros, what was the biggest challenge for you? What was the biggest change?
For me, it was sight adjustments, if you understand what I'm talking about, to be able to read the blitz. Mm-hmm. At the collegiate level, I wasn't taught that at NAU. And when I was selected to be a part of the Detroit Lions, some of that didn't translate into, you know, good play. One of the things you have to do as a wide receiver in NFL is read blitzes and read defenses, things of that nature. And that came maybe a year later.
Uh-huh. Was it a lot quicker?
Yeah, the game was a lot quicker. I don't believe that there was any more or less violence relative to the game. I think the violence is the same even in Pop Warner. You know, a mm-hmm. hit may seem like a vicious hit, but you pop up, and then those that don't have a whole lot of impact or sound bites, if you will, hurt the most. So,
mm-hmm. Were you at NAU with Michael Haynes? Was he there around that
no.
time too? Okay. Are you preceding him or after? Or he's
before.
Okay, all right.
Were you there with Andy Reid?
No,
Andy Reid, Mike Shanahan.
Damn, y'all homework.
No.
Right?
No, well, no, they were all up there. Yeah. You know?
I was there with Dwayne Painter though. Dwayne Painter ended up with Pittsburgh for a year or so. I think he had came from UCLA under uh-huh. Donahue and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, I was in the band, man.
So how did it feel getting inducted to the NAU Hall of Fame, man?
Fantastic. Yeah. Ultimately, I did some things right. Thank you so much. Some things went my way, you know, set some records there and that kind of thing. So I'm very proud to be an alumni.
So, I mean, Detroit, do you see what the type of state they're in right now? And they're scrambling around trying to look for some resolution. What do you think could help that team and have an immediate impact on that team? Is it coaching, players? Or?
Already happened. They got right in McMillan.
I believe that everybody gets a turn. You know, I believe that everyone gets a turn at success and certainly failure. You can take that relative to what the Saints did mm-hmm. for a long time.
Sure.
You know, no success, and they got a turn. I believe Detroit will get a turn.
Yeah. Do you, what areas do you see that are concerning, because I mean they've been bad for a while. I mean they had some spurts with, you know, with Barry Sanders there, and they had the quarterback Scott Mitchell, and who was a big tall receiver.
Herman Moore.
And I mean, I remember growing up in Chicago, so I mean, I was a big fan of pretty much all the Midwest teams. But it just seems like, for some reason, they're missing that it factor to get them over the hump.
I think it has to be a total effort, mm-hmm. From upstairs to downstairs, and I think that's the separation. I experienced some of that when I was there. You know, you have upstairs not. In cahoots, if you will, with downstairs, meaning the players.
Mm-hmm.
You very rarely saw Ford, William Clay at the time. Mm-hmm. I do believe the Sun has taken over since then. Mm-hmm. I think it has to be a total effort of understanding why you're trying to put a product on the field and get something accomplished. I think they've made strides in terms of they have a new facility. I played in the Silver Dome. They have the Ford Field now. It's just a combination of total effort, management, coaches, ball players alike, in terms of where they want to go and if, in fact, they want to produce a Super Bowl champion. I believe that Ford makes their money selling F-150s.
Yeah.
And too oft times than not, that's the main focus, and you just and the ball club just becomes a write off.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But if it's something that you take pride in, and I'm sure they have their sense of pride, but want to produce a winner, then I think collectively it could come together.
Are you still watching Detroit though?
Absolutely,
I thought so. You're still there. You're bonded.
I'm bonded. I claim them. I'm a Lion. They chose me in the second round, so that's a lifetime.
Okay.
I'm in that frat.
Your opinion on what they have been doing? I mean, I actually liked their last draft when they brought in, of course, Stafford, and then they brought in the big tight end Pettigrew, and Delamus, I think is the gentleman's name. He plays the safety position out of Western Michigan.
Yes.
So I think they actually are taking steps, and plus I loved the pick of Ernie Sims a couple of years back. So they have named players that actually have performed quite well. Do you think it's just a matter of kind of the unifying all of that talent and bringing kind of all that mix, that gumbo together?
Unifying all the talent. But being able to keep the talent there, too oft times than not, Detroit will draft you and then release you.
Mm.
You don't have a chance to blossom, a chance to understand the total effort in what you're trying to put out there. I mean, they draft Chuck Long in the first round, and then he's gone. You know, that kind of thing. So I think if they hang on to the players and let them become one, then they'll produce a product that is a contender.
Okay.
And I think that's very similar to what the Arizona Cardinals have done here. You know what I mean? Like, they've got coaching with Coach Wisenhunt, and they started to make those strides with Denny. We'll be right back on that thought. We got in studio, got Peter Manley, NAU legend, former Detroit Lion. Back after the break, Planet Gridiron Radio, Roland Hill, Damon Anderson, Dave Lockhart. In studio, Pete Manley.
To the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter, formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lasseter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lasseter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. Pacific Time for IS Outdoors on the Voice America Sports Channel. With their combined experience of 60 years in the woods, Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they are also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. IS Outdoors offers brisk interaction with the audience, soliciting opinions and questions on a wide range of outdoor subjects. Tune in every Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time to the IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Back to Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice America Sports Network. And we're here with in-studio guest Pete Manley, the Beast from NAU. What, Pete, when did you get retired to the NAU Hall of Fame?
86, I think.
Damn. You look like you're in shape, bro. You still work. You look like you play running back or something.
I know, you'll be a swole when you say receiver.
It's funny you say that because in high school I was a running back in the wishbone.
Okay. Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was until I got to Northern Arizona University and they transferred me to the flanker.
The hands were that good.
Yeah.
Just could catch everything.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
So, I mean, we also hear about this 70% bankruptcy rate, you know, with NFL players and all these negative things associated with the game once life is done. But we understand that you're doing a lot of things within the community as well as, you know, entrepreneurial skills and developing a lot of organizations and businesses. So just, you know, kind of share what you're doing right now.
Well, first, with all due respect, I'd like to say shout out to everybody who's given or have given to Haiti.
Okay.
I want to say that. But I've been fortunate to invest my monies to do things that not only provides a service back into the community, but also puts money in my pocket as well.
Mm-hmm.
Things like limousine services, Goldwing Executive Limo, Paradise, located in Gilbert, Arizona, and be able to employ people as well.
Mm-hmm. But you said that your hair salon has over 65 experience. Like, what are all the things that you guys do? 65 years of experience. What are all the things that you do at your salon?
We do colors. We do weaves. We do dreads. We do braids. We do fades. We do pedicures, manicures, facials, masseuses, the whole nine yards. We're a complete salon.
But you know that I got that certain kind of grain. I got that mixed grain. Can y'all cut me up, bro?
Yes, sir.
Because I get some people that mess up the you know, you got to keep it with the grain. Right.
That's where that 65 years of experience comes into play. We've made our mistakes along the way,
right? Yeah.
Ultimately, know how to handle all types of hair.
Cause I'm cutting my own hair right now, bro.
Yes,
I done had too many bad experiences. Like, oh man, what?
No, yes, sir.
Man. You know what I mean. So I need to find a good barber. So where'd you say Paradise is located?
It's on Williamsfield and Val Vista.
Okay. So have you been switching lanes real quick? Have you been paying attention to the draft?
I have.
So what are you thinking about this number one pick? What do you think is going to be? Do you think they're going to spend this money on this D tackle, or are they going to go get Sam Bradford?
They're probably going to get Bradford.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think that's the right decision?
Well, we'll find out.
Exactly.
It's touch and go. I mean, you know, it's a funny thing with sports and especially football when you can make millions of dollars and never have stepped on the field.
That's Charlie Whitehurst.
And a lot of players, you know, are good college players.
Sure.
And as soon as they get to the next level, it doesn't pan out. So it remains to be seen.
So you said you talked about something, Dave. You just made a comment about Charlie Whitehurst going to Seattle.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that real quick before we touch on Sam Bradford. Sure. Charlie Whitehurst gets $10 million.
Has not thrown one pass.
Third round draft pick.
Clemson.
Never played.
Yes.
Get $10 million.
He got a good agent.
Well, you know what? I thought about that. What sense does that make? And then if you think about it, it makes good sense. And here's what I mean. What if you have to draft a quarterback who also, out of college, who hasn't done anything yet also in the NFL, Matthew Stafford? You have to guarantee him $40 million. And okay. He has not spent any time in a professional
exactly.
camp.
Exactly.
He has not spent any time in a professional classroom. He has not played any preseason games, and you're guaranteeing him $40 million.
Well, what happens, the NFL is a victim of circumstance because they set these guidelines, these policies, these limitations for that enable players to make $40 million signing bonus, to make $30 million signing bonus. And what they need to do is make a cap on that and have it very similar to baseball where they have that two-year period
sure.
where you come in, you have an earning potential of so much, and then after that, you restructure.
But true.
You know what I mean? After that, you restructure. And I think that would put more – that would give veterans, players that are currently playing, more of a power and feel like they can get that money that those young guys come in. Because how would you feel if, say, for example, give me a quarterback, Donovan McNabb right
yep.
now. And you have Sam Bradford that will come in and make more money
than
he does.
He's going to make more.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He can make Donovan. You have Donovan McNabb, who has been one of the most winningest coaches in the NFL for the past 10 years, arguably, of course, you know, arguably,
yeah.
quarterbacks in the mm-hmm. game. But you got Sam Bradford, like we said, has never threw a ball. Mm-hmm. We don't know if his shoulder's okay. And he's going to make $40 million just to be the first one to walk up there.
Correct.
To me, that just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Honestly, if I'm Sam Bradford, I'm going to take advantage of it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm
exactly.
going to take that. Oh, thank
sure.
you. Appreciate it.
And maybe Donovan should have waited to go in the league.
Ten years.
And he also went through that, too. Let's bear in mind, he was the second pick of the first round,
pick,
too.
Yeah.
So he made more than the more established quarterbacks as well in terms
but
of
But what I'm trying
base.
To say, the NFL right now is victim of circumstance, and I think that they need to restructure things in terms of how rookies are paid.
I think that's going to happen regardless. At the end of the labor agreement, or discussions, they're going to have a salary cap with respect to rookies.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely going to happen where you don't have these kids making that much more and haven't and necessarily earned it. But getting back into the argument, when you said, what do I think about it? I think for financial reasons, it makes a lot of sense to take a quarterback that at least you have some idea of what they will do already at the NFL level compared to a quarterback like a Sam Bradford. Because
some idea. He played in the preseason, Dave.
Yeah, that's true.
I rushed for 400 yards in the preseason, man.
Okay, but
that don't mean nothing.
But if you think about it,
I went for rushing 400 yards just sitting on the sideline getting him some drink.
Okay.
Bro, you good? Okay.
But if you look at it from a business standpoint, it makes sense to begin to change the model.
It does.
To guarantee $40 million and then have a
kid. So is he cheaper? Is Whitehurst
he's cheaper? Definitely,
definitely cheaper.
He's definitely cheaper.
And low risk.
And low risk, and he may very well be successful. We just don't know that yet. But the problem is this. When you bring a rookie in, you don't know if he's going to be successful
right.
either.
Right.
So if I'm going to guarantee $40 million or $10 million, which one are you going to do?
I'm going to do 40.
Hey, what's going to happen?
We're going to be out of business.
What's going to happen here with Anderson and Leinart?
Well, they're going to battle.
They're going to battle. I do.
Who's the better quarterback?
Right now, I'd say Anderson.
I think it remains to be seen. I've never been that impressed.
Are you biased or are you being serious?
No, I'm being serious.
Really?
I mean, I love Matt. I think Matt's a great quarterback. I just think that
he's a great guy, but I don't know. I'm
a
good guy, too. They won't let me play.
No, I think he's a good quarterback, and the fact that he has, you know, Heisman Trophy winner, he has a pedigree. He showed me the most is when he came in that NFC game in the playoffs against New Orleans, and he went 5 for 5 straight down the
sure.
field and set him up in field goal range. And to me, to do that, come off cold off the sideline when Kurt got blown up. And
yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, lit up.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? When Kurt took that hit, to me, it was like, okay, you know, Matt came in, went 5 for 5. To come in at adverse situations, Matt's a gamer, man. He, you know, he grew up, he's Hollywood, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he needed this opportunity like this for him to come, you know what I mean,
sure.
for Anderson to be here, because Anderson's good. Anderson just didn't have anybody. Anderson didn't have a Larry Fitzgerald. He didn't have a Steve Breston or Early Doucette in Cleveland.
No, he didn't.
He didn't have that. He didn't have the coaching of Coach Wisenhunt. So I think it's going to be a great competition. You know, I have a little partiality, if that's a word, with Matt because, you know, I play with him. But at the same time, I think that Matt Anderson is a great pickup. I mean, just 2 years ago, he just signed him a new deal, $20-some million.
Derek Anderson?
Yeah, Derek Anderson, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Oh, so, and that was right before they drafted Brady Quinn because he was the best available option. Brady Quinn's a great quarterback, but Matt Anderson was the best quarterback for that team.
Derek Anderson.
Derek Anderson. So I think, obviously, like Dave said, it remains to be seen, but I think right now in the game, I think Derek Anderson's a better quarterback.
But they're saying they might not be stopping either with bringing in maybe even another quarterback, because at this point we only have two in Cardinal camp right now.
So they didn't bring St. Pierre back?
St. Pierre is not a free agent.
Really?
Yes. I kind of was leaning toward them bringing St. Pierre back.
Yeah, cause yeah. He I mean, that actually last year they all looked bad, really, besides Kurt. I mean, they all looked bad in preseason. You just didn't know what you were really going to get. And Matt came in, played decent. They didn't really open up the playing book against the Tennessee Titans when they played them. But for the most part, I mean, I like Matt. I think it's going to be a great competition. But in terms of winners and losers right now, in terms of free agency, where do you see it, Pete and Dave next? Where do you guys see it?
Winners and losers?
Yeah, winners and losers of free agency right now.
At this point, I mean, everybody is saying – Chicago has to be considered a winner because they got the crown jewel of the free agency market, which was who? Julius Peppers. Peppers, right. But and you know what? We talked about this briefly last week. I don't understand all the detractors. He's been in the league, what, 8 years and made 6 Pro Bowls?
Yeah.
And he's had, in the 8 years, he's had double digits.
You got to find something, man.
Yeah.
You got to find something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have to find. I mean, you could say that about Carlos Dansby. I mean, he got guaranteed $22 million, and he hasn't been to the Pro Bowl.
And not only that, he's not known for sacks, but he is a darn good linebacker.
I mean, past 2 years, over 105 tackles.
Correct.
I mean, he's a great football player. Could play in any scheme. Very athletic. I think with him, it's going to be now. It's going to be durability and that itis that tends to strike a lot of people once they get that $22 million in the pocket. Because I might be a little itis struck too.
No question. You can understand that.
Pete, did you ever suffer from itis?
No.
No. You say nope.
Not never. Never.
Not at all. I think the Jets are the winners.
Yeah.
I like Tomlinson going to the Jets because they have a very physical front line. I think they're going to do some special things. They already got defense. They got a tough man mentality or smash mouth football. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of groomed from that, especially being in KC with Marty playing that smash mouth ball. In fact, when I came to Kansas City, I changed from a 2-bar to a 3-bar. So I had to go down there and get that safety. You guys made mention of something earlier, and that is these millions of dollars. I was too early, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they're making crazy money now. I wish I would have experienced some of that.
Sure.
So we got a welcome to the show. Talking about one of our family members here at Planet Gridiron of winning the lottery. Yeah, damn. We got a welcome to the show. Antrell Rowe of the New York Giants. Antrell, how you doing, bud? This is Damon Anderson. Welcome to Planet Gridiron.
I'm doing good, man. What's going on?
So I mean, you are, bro. I mean,
it's all about you, brother.
Yeah, man. So congratulations with the new contract and you getting appreciated up there in New York.
Oh, man, thank you, man. I appreciate it, man. You know, it's truly a blessing, you know.
So what's next for you right now in that everything's signed up? I mean, did you get a house out there? Where you live in New Jersey, New York? I mean, penthouse suite?
Manhattan.
Yeah, Manhattan. What's next for you?
Well, you know, right now I'm going to be checking out places in New Jersey. You know, I'm definitely not trying to live in the city. You know, just trying to stay away from distractions as much as I can. You know, stay focused on ball. You know, I don't want to have to, you know, make no kind of crazy commutes to the facility. You know, that's first and foremost.
You can take a helicopter.
No. You know, man, you do it like that. You know, that's how guys end up broke. You know,
hey,
not knowing
Antrell, stay right there. We got to take a break. PlanetGridiron.com on Voice America Sports. We'll be right back.
Okay.
To the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
What? Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
the shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
And we're back here on Voice America Sports, PlanetGridiron.com, with your host, Damian Anderson.
Welcome back to Pentagram. That's the voice we all know and love, Roland Hill. We have in-studio guest Pete Manley, NAU legend, and former
Lumberjack.
Yeah, Lumberjack, former Detroit Lion. We have on the line, on the Planet Gridiron guest line, we have Money Bags, Antrell Rowe. Antrell, so what did it feel? Because, I mean, when you were with the Cardinals, you basically were there when they started, during the rebuilding process, and to make it to the Super Bowl, I mean, although it's a year removed, what did that feel like to be a part of that process?
It feels great. You know, I've had five outstanding years with the Cardinals, whether they were good times, whether they were tough times, no matter what, you know, I mean, I think it taught me to become a better player, a better student of the game, and most of all, to respect and to appreciate, good team chemistry. And, being a part of the Cardinals, I mean, it was great. You know, I mean, we went from a franchise that was a losing franchise to a franchise that was, you know, Super Bowl contenders, you know, and, it was great. I mean, you know, to turn the organization around like that, to be a part of a team that turned the organization around, it's tremendous.
Hey, Andrew, I got a couple questions for you. Dave Lockhart here. I remember, or I heard an interview with you when you signed with the Giants. Did you have any trepidation of coming back to Arizona, giving them an opportunity to perhaps match that contract? Or did it? You just felt that you needed a change of scenery?
A little bit of both. Okay. I definitely kept Arizona in the mix. Arizona didn't come into the mix till later on that night. Once negotiations had already been in progress with the Giants. And they came and, you know, and they matched everything dollar for dollar except for the guaranteed money. You know, the Cardinals were only willing to guarantee $10 million while the Giants were willing to guarantee $15 million. And I think for anyone else in this world,
I'm a Giant. Mama, we a Giant.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, Trell, how important was you from you switching from corner to safety? How has that played out in your career?
I think it was a good move. Being that I was a press corner at University of Miami and then coming to the Cardinals, and, you know, you have to be – I had to play 9 yards off on each and every down. I mean, it just took me out of my game before the game even started.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm a competitor. You know, I don't like anyone to catch any passes on me. And anyone knows in this league, corner is the most difficult position on the defensive side of the ball. And if you're not feeling it and you're not in your zone and you're not at comfort, then, I mean, you're already defeated before you step out on the field. And that's pretty much how I was feeling. So, I mean, I just need a place where, you know, I can roam around and make plays, you know, as I did in college. And, that was the only way I can get on the field and make plays.
So, this year was kind of a great year for you. I mean, you made it to the Pro Bowl back in Miami where your career basically started. What did that mean? What did that mean to you to go back, you know, and play in your first Pro Bowl?
Oh, man, I mean, it was great. I mean, you know, words can never explain, you know, the feeling that it gave me to know that you're amongst the elite players in the NFL. And, I mean, it's truly a blessing. And, coming back to my hometown, you know, that just put a little cherry on the cake right there. You know, coming back and not being able to play at home for the last 5 years and then being able to play at home for such an elite experience. It was great. You know, I enjoyed it. You know, I cherished every minute of it.
So did you throw a party?
Excuse me?
Did you throw a party?
Oh, I didn't throw no party, but I definitely went to all the parties that were going on.
We missed you. We were down there. We missed you at all the parties.
Man. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I was wherever the party was, you know, that trail was there. You know?
We missed you at the Jordan Sparks party.
Oh, hey. Hey, as long as I didn't miss any practices, I was good, huh?
Exactly.
So, Trey, I mean, everybody's talking about this 30-on-30 on SportsCenter of the U. And don't get me wrong, y'all got. I give much respect to you. I think that y'all were amazing. I mean, I wanted a Jerry Curl and wanted to wear a half jersey when I was growing up too. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be like y'all. Wanted to be dark skinned too, but you know that just didn't happen. But well, tell me about the whole persona, the whole as it 2010, the whole swagger. Everything that the U represents, man.
The U represents, you know, just attitude. You know what I mean? That's the thing that when I was there at the University of Miami and before my time, you know, we used to defeat opponents before we even stepped on the field, you know, just by attitude alone. You know, just going out there and just taking them out of the game before it even started. And then, you know, if that doesn't happen, then you go out there and actually take them out of the game while the game is going on. And, I mean, That's what we were known for. You know, that's what the U is all about. That's what it represents. You know, it's one man's land, and, you know, and we do it together. That's why the U stands for unity.
I stand for university, man.
Matriculate.
No, but y'all doing great things. I just want to thank you for coming on Planet Gridiron and Trell. And, I mean, I know you're going to do great things. You're a sound dude, and you've always remained humble, man. To much success to you, and good luck this season, bro.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate y'all for having me. All right.
Take care now. Good luck.
So we got to go back to what we were talking about, the winners and the losers. And I think that New York did a good job getting him, but the fact that they ain't getting nothing else, they need a lot of help over there, bro.
I agree. And they released their starting backer, like he said, Antonio Pierce.
Yeah, Antonio Pierce.
Never released. University of Arizona Wildcat, by the way. Anyway.
There you go, bro. There you go.
Okay, Where'd you go to school?
Where'd you go to school, Dave?
You know about them cats. Okay. You know about the
university. Did y'all ever play in AU?
Actually, we did.
Well, who won?
Wasn't close.
It wasn't close.
Did y'all play when you were there?
No.
Oh, you didn't. Oh, okay.
I went to the U and watched one of those games. It was good. It was close in the first quarter, but after that, it was a
route.
Yeah.
Route.
Yeah.
Who did we play when we were there? You played Boise State?
Boise State, Weber State, Montana State, Montana. Idaho State.
We had a hockey team also.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's cold enough.
Yeah. We had a hockey team. At the time, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So where were you, man? When I was
in the band.
When Pete was on there.
Getting it. Yeah, that was me.
So Pete, when you see the game right now in – What do you wish you were playing this era besides the money? You know what I'm saying? But take the money out the equation. Do you wish – what was your time – you know, did you enjoy your experience when it was simply about the purity of the game?
Man, that's a double-edged sword there. I physically, I feel like I still can play. I feel like
– You look like it.
I feel like
– He was swole.
I feel like if there was room for a slow black receiver, then that'd be me. Right. You know, that could come across the middle and that kind of thing. You know, just the timing was off in terms of the money, but the love of the sport. You know, like right around now, I start to get the sweaty palms.
Sure.
You know, the grass starts to smell a little different, that kind of thing. And you know, my body, it wants me to run. It just tells me, okay, let's do something
let's
physical.
Work out. Yeah,
hitting the weights,
punch
you know,
somebody in the face,
getting on the road and doing some road work as well. At tender 48, soon to be 49.
You look great, bro. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I still have passion for the game, and my heart goes out to all the players. And then when we talk about monies, you know, the $25 million, the $56 million, and that kind of thing, in my opinion, is not enough money relative to what they do. We can call it what we want, sitting over here and that kind of thing, but to put your bodies on the line and to risk injury at any given time, you know, to me, sometimes the money is, you know, what they make is not enough.
You know, what's interesting I would like to talk to you about is that it's clearly that you've been successful since you've left the playing fields.
Yes, sir.
I would imagine that planning began while you were still playing.
Well, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny you make mention of that because now when players start to prepare for a post-career, the organizations don't fare well with that. They want you to focus on playing, running up and down that football field and not mm-hmm. life after sports.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm hoping that the new person that's taken over the NFL Player Association has programs for players who get out of the game and when the cheers stop and when no one wants your autograph, what do you do then?
Maurice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you prepare for that as well? So
you know, that's funny you would say that. I just read an article. I believe Don King authored this article regarding
really?
regarding
You read that?
The players. And how, for instance, Myron Roll and Tebow, those are the two they're focusing. Are they too well-rounded, is what they're saying. And what the focus of the article was that, and all the GMs or the people that they took statements from remained anonymous. But what they were getting at is that I don't know if I want all these individuals to have divergent interests. I'm more interested in somebody who's 24/7.
Hold on, man. You said Peter King, right?
No, there's a Don King that also writes.
Oh, okay, not the Don King, the boxer.
No.
Okay,
no.
I'm like, you've heard about football. Okay.
Only in America.
My bad.
But you know what? It could have been, I believe it was Don King, though.
Okay.
Definitely so. But I found that really interesting. But I guess it makes sense from the standpoint if I'm putting a team together.
Dave, I'll give you a great point. When I come from Northwestern, we're not known for being a football institution. Probably since the days of Gary Barnett, 1994, around that time when we, beat Notre Dame, went to the Rose Bowl. From that point on, where we were being known as a football powerhouse, I would say. But I was talking. Yes, that's right.
A competitive program.
You went to NAU, bro.
Sure did.
Calm down.
Take it easy.
Powerhouse in hockey.
in band.
Yeah.
The band was off the chain. But it was funny. I was talking to one of the coaches that had been there 17 years, and he said, unless it takes for a guy to be amazing for them to not consider that. Because they say Northwestern guys, they don't come to the NFL. They come to the NFL to it's just another opportunity because they're not going to college just to play football.
Sure. They're bridging the gap.
So they're trying to, like you said, make it more rounded. They would rather take, say, for example, they got the same measurables, a guy from the U, as Antrell, and a guy from Northwestern. They're going to take the guy from you from his past, from what he's necessarily done, but they're going to take a guy from the U. Just say NAU. Same, for example, you put amazing stats. You might even run faster, be stronger, but they're going to take that guy from the U because he's from the U.
This is true.
Very
true. But when you talked about real roundedness, I mean, ultimately, when players start to focus on life after football, organizations don't like that. When you start being ranked in your position and you want more money, organizations don't like that. That's when you don't get that extension in the contract. They want you to take the 10% extension and not, tear that contract up and renegotiate and that kind of thing. And I'm sure that had a big part in Mr. Rowe's contract as well. It's because he wanted certain kinds of monies. And like he said, they didn't want to match the $15 million signing bonus. Well, that meant a lot there because that's a statement. Do you really want me?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have the capability to keep me, but do you want me? And when they wouldn't go that, when they wouldn't reach that height, then he decided to go elsewhere.
Well, what did they owe him here? It was like $12
million? It was going to be $12 million. They're going to pay $12 million for this year alone.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So, can you really do that? Can you really pay $12 million? You can't. Like what Dave talked about last week, you can't pay $12 million for safety. They signed him, unfortunately, as a corner. That's corner money.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a safety. Although he's a Pro Bowl, he's a great player, electric when he has the ball in his hands. And he's an athlete out there on the football field. But that just doesn't justify the means at that point. So,
right.
I don't know. And to get back to what we were talking about in terms of being well-rounded, I have my agent at the time told me, he said, and I thought it was the best thing in the world, and I would rather have 11 of these guys on my team. He said, you're a jack of all trades, but a king of none.
Master of none.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And to me, I'm like, Give me 11 of those guys.
I can
put them anywhere. Right, they could do anything.
Yeah. Multitask.
Yeah, we can multitask. And that's as you know, Pete, as they say, the more you can do can keep you around the longest.
The more you can do, the better your resale.
There you go. We're going to take a break. Planet Gridiron Radio. We'd like to thank Antrell Rowe for calling in. Pete Manley in studio. David Lockhart, Damon Anderson, Ira Hill with the mustache. Planet Gridiron Radio, voiceamericasports.com.
School to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm
starting, I'm bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. Hicklin is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
And we're back here on PlanetGridiron.com, Voice America Sports, with your host, Damian Anderson.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that intro, man. You get better.
I get into it, man.
Yeah, you do.
I appreciate my job.
I was being sarcastic.
I went. I'm serious.
We got a caller from PG Nation. Wags, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man.
So what's been going on in North Carolina? How's your bracketology working right now?
Not very good. I'm about 50% right now.
You ain't wrestling?
I'm just relaxing right now, man.
What happened?
Nothing much going on right
Somebody
now,
Somebody whack
man.
You or what? You not wrestling no more?
Supposed to be doing a show in April, but all I got to say is anybody that shows up there at that show April 16th in Moxville needs to let the one moron know, I don't like you, Jay Alexander, and you better watch your back.
Uh-oh.
This ain't Delilah.
You call
I'm being forced to tag team with him in a match, and me and him don't get along. So he just better watch his back. That's all I got to say.
You better tape that. I want to see that.
Yeah, you
put it on YouTube.
YouTube it.
Put it on Planet Gridiron. Yeah, make it happen.
Yep.
Make it happen.
I just want to say, guys, it was a great show today, and liked all the great talking and insight that you guys gave today.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for calling in.
Appreciate that, Wags. You gone? What you got? What's happening for the rest of your Friday?
Just relax. Get ready to go down on the weekend to see my son in South Carolina.
How's he doing?
You know,
how's
I'm
your boy
have
doing?
Fun with that.
How's your boy doing?
He's doing good. Yeah. Look forward to seeing him. Don't know what we're gonna do yet. Depends on the weather and that. But
how long a drive is it to get down there?
It's a few-hour drive down there, but it's well worth it getting to spend all the time with him.
Yeah, it is, man. Tell him we said what's up, and thanks for calling in, Wax.
Will do, man. You all take it easy. Have a great weekend.
All right, Wax. All right, Wax. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Oh, and by the way.
So I got to love Wax, man. So he's always on PG.com, PlanetGridiron.com, and Facebook, hitting you up and letting you know what's going on. But so, Dave, so Tim Tebow. Just worked out.
That he did.
So what happened? Did he impress you?
No.
No?
No. Let me first say this. Let me preface my comments with this. I have no dislike, disdain, or anything for Tim Tebow.
Okay.
Like any other player or any other
person.
He's
arguably one of the best college football players ever.
You will not get a dispute or debate here. And I'll say this.
Notice I said college football.
College football, yes. Mm-hmm. And for what he was asked to do within the system that he played in, he was excellent at it.
The hand clap.
Yep.
Ready? Give me the ball.
The problem with what I saw is that, and I'm of the opinion as what the other pundits say, if you liked him before, then fine. If you had interest in him, then fine, you saw improvement, and he did improve. But if you were of the position or that he cannot play at the next level because of his unorthodox play, then nothing you gained from that from watching
it didn't
him
change anything.
It didn't change anything. Yeah. You're looking at a scripted. We talked about it. 50 to 60 throws. I think it was less than an hour. He never took snaps under center, and he had been performing this same workout for the past 6 weeks. He's a great athlete. So we know that he was going to have marked improvement. What I want to see is when the bullets start going off. Mm-hmm. I remember LaDainian Thomas said that everybody's a soldier till the bullets start flying.
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I want to see, and we all, as being former athletes, maybe you're not rolling, but former athletes.
I was in band.
We marched. Muscle memory.
Right.
We tend to revert back to doing the things that we've always grown up doing. He's an overstrider. He winds up. He carries the ball low. And I don't think 6 weeks is going to change all that. But what Charlie Casserly said, and I buy into it as well, it's not necessarily the mechanics that are going to be the issue. It's going to be, can he dissect, digest all of the information, and then make a decision within 6 seconds, which is he has to
do. But he's a smart kid.
I mean, is he? I think he's an intelligent kid. And I think he comes
he's not
from
dumb.
I think he's a great kid. He comes from a great family. And I think that to develop any, I mean, they're missionaries.
They're missionaries.
So, they're Mormon?
No.
They just care about people. So I mean, they important to me. I like them. But my point is that
in his heart.
Yeah, my point is that anyone can digest Urban Meyer's system, which is very complicated and changes formations in and out every week, can adapt to any game.
I disagree.
I think so. I think that any quarterback that can handle that much information and go to basically every game plan with a new regime, new type of basically formation to play?
No, he's run the same offense since he was in high school.
No, but he has to put in new things every week.
That offense is the same that they ran ever since he was in
so,
high school.
Okay, so
come on,
who calls plays?
When and where does he
but
go?
He has to know. But I don't understand why we're wasting so much time on a guy that's not going to be a first round.
When and where does he go? When?
Late second to fourth.
After all this hype, what do you think?
I think if somebody will overreach, take him in the second round. What is he good for? Somewhere between the fourth to the seventh.
Pete, you feel the same way?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he's a great football player. I think he'll make an amazing tight end.
One well of a H-back. Yeah.
He'd be the next Cooley from the Redskins.
I agree with you. I agree. He'd be great H-back, you know, tight end.
My winners and losers of the free agency real quick before we go to our Strength of America clip. I like the Bears. I really do. I like the fact that they got Pep. I love not even Pep so much. I like the running back that they Chester Taylor from Minnesota.
How about Manu Maliuna?
Yeah.
Good block
too.
And their offensive coordinator. I think that adds so much for Cutler. So that's me. Dave, you?
Yeah, I can't disagree with the Bears being one of the main winners in this free agency, the market, if you will. I don't disagree with the Jets either.
I'm going to stick with the Jets.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it till he just did make mention of that. The Jets seem to have been done okay. But who will we say is losers? Because we're touting. Who do you think lost? To be honest, until we got Derek Anderson, I was thinking it was us.
I don't think so. I think we're smart. I think we're smart like a fox.
They draft well.
Like a fox.
So why didn't we take Porter?
Because he didn't want to come here.
Well, no, he wanted to be here. No, he wanted to be here.
He did say he wanted to be
here. He wanted to be here. It's closer to Bakersfield. Yeah.
He and Foote said that.
But I think, Mr. Graves, he doesn't like problems.
I don't necessarily think they're a problem. I think that those guys, he got docket, so that's not an issue. But I think that.
For another year.
But I think that with those guys, and Pete, you know what I'm talking about, they're older in their career. You know what I'm saying? Foote is not going to change that defense. He's not going to be the player that
Dansby was.
And Porter, although he's good, but he's like another Chike O'Keefe.
Okay, you know what do we do then to plug that in? Because we got a gaping hole.
You got Calais Campbell, and obviously you do the draft. They got guys in there now that can play.
Sure.
You know, they got guys, and that's what they did. That's how they knew with Calais Campbell. That's why they allowed Bertrand Berry to take it.
Hey, I saw something. Bert's a free agent.
No, he's retiring. It's flashing. But, he already announced retirement. He's already announced.
Yeah,
because he played under a one-year deal last year.
Well, I just made mention of Porter because of the tough man mentality. Uh-huh. I mean, like Mr. Rose said, I mean, you need to be able to defeat people before they get on the field.
He had a problem last year where he didn't play a game or something, didn't show up to practice and stuff, and that's also, not what they like out here.
He's a Pittsburgh guy.
But Lawrence Taylor did that as well.
Yeah.
Not here.
I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. PG Nation, all you guys out there, you can always hit Roland and I up at www.planetground.com. I'd like to thank our guest, Antrell Roll, all-pro safety from the New York Giants, and Pete Manley from
NAU.
There you go. And what do you got going on? Where can they hit you up at, Pete?
602-487-5538.
And the hair shop, what's the name?
That's Haradise, with the Z.
Okay, and the limo service?
Gold Wing Executive Limo.
There we go. And Dave?
I'm out.
Okay, and we're out. here comes that Strength of America clip of the week. See you guys next week.
Bob Davis here again. Strength of America Speed and Agility Minute. Drill we want to bring you today is a zigzag drill, but we're combining it with cone jumps to try and introduce power, vertical leap, get your height out there, but then also with that maximum power, how to react and control your body in tight spaces. So we're going to set three cones up in a row. They're going to be about 18 inches apart, one in front of the other one. Then your next cone is going to be at a 45-degree angle over to your right, another 45 to the left, again to the right, to the left, to the right, and then come back over. The final one you're going to end with three cones in a row to finish with cone jumps just like you started. Stand behind the first cone, feet together on the go command. Get as high as you can, really making sure the push is coming from the feet, the calves, that reaction of the feet, not using your thighs by squatting into the movement. Get as high as you can to jump over the three cones one at a time. As soon as you land over that first cone, we're going to head to the right into a shuffle movement, but you want to really land with that left foot. As soon as that left foot comes in contact, you're going to extend, push over to the right into a tight shuffle. When you get over to the far cone, which is going to be about 10, 12 feet away from you, you're going to shuffle hard to the left, back and forth between the cones, zigzagging in that nice tight shuffle, eyes straight ahead, good body control. And then when you get back to the last one, without a little double step, as soon as you get to it, jump right into that high jump, toe punches all the way to the end. To see this drill, head to planetgridiron.com, select the knowledge page, head down to Strength of America's button, click that, then look for my videos. Or you can go to strengthofamerica.us, select training corner page, football, you'll get all these drills plus many more. Remember to train hard, but more importantly, train smart.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.